Hi guys, welcome back for episode 28. So last week we broke down the SoStack planning framework. This is a framework for turning marketing ideas into real results. And the big lesson with that one is that success often comes down to your structure and your clarity. This week, we are really excited about today's episode because for the very first time, we have a guest joining us. Woo!
Yay!
When it comes to business awards, most people think that their work should speak for itself. But the truth is, the judges don't know the late nights, they don't know the challenges, and they don't know the breakthroughs. They only see the words on the page, and that's why what you write in your application matters more than what you think. So to help us unpack this, I'm joined by the incredible Annette Deschman. Annette is an award-winning PR strategist and storytelling expert who has helped countless businesses turn their achievements into compelling stories to win attention, recognition, and credibility. So in this episode, we will dive into the mistakes most businesses make in their applications, how to tell a story that actually connects with judges, and Annette's top tips for writing entries to stand out. So Annette, welcome to the Adonis Effect. It's such a pleasure to have you on.
Oh, thank you, Chloe. And I'm pretty chuffed to be the first guest ever.
Yeah. Awesome. So why do awards matter for businesses? So awards build credibility. They give you the authority in your industry and reassure potential customers that, you know, you're the real deal. You know what you're doing and you know what you're talking about. They boost visibility. So winning or even just being shortlisted and recognized for an award gets your name out there. The PR mentions, the social media posts, and the industry recognition. They have hidden ROI. So a lot of people I've noticed see awards as just, I'll apply for it later. It doesn't really matter, whatever. But the credibility helps you win tenders. It attracts investors and it secures, you know, speaking gigs. It builds trust with new clients. And like we said, it builds the credibility. So even just being a finalist can separate you from the competitors. And sometimes the recognition is enough to keep you at the top in your favor.
Absolutely. All of those things. I tell people that awards are a part of your marketing strategy. You know, they're not the be all and end all. I mean, if you enter, you enter. If you don't, you don't. That's your choice. But having it as an integral part of, you know, your content strategy or your PR strategy or your advertising strategy gives you another string to your bow. We live in a world that is really driven by social proof.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
More so now. Like, you know, back when I first started writing awards, which was, 11, 12 years ago, it was a nice little tick to have. You know, people were suitably impressed. But, you know, back then, you know, getting your business out there through marketing was, you know, I won't say easier, but it was probably simpler. But now, you know, like we're hit every day with 78 gigabytes of information from this box that we sit and look at in so many formats in our hands, in front of our faces, on our tablets.
Yeah.
So standing out is crucial. And that social proof of awards, I call them breadcrumbs. So, you know, all of those things that you do are little breadcrumbs that lead your audience back to you, not the wicked witch who's going to eat you, but the business owner who has worked hard, as you said, you know, done the late nights, created, innovated, pushed through, changed, pivoted, and done all of those things. And unless you're telling people in some format, in some way, that you're doing these things, so it doesn't feel like bragging, you're really just another person that pops up in their feed. It's easy to move past. So these breadcrumbs, you know, and it comes down, I'm not making this shit up, it comes down to science. It comes down to that neural link and that chemical reaction that you create when you're sharing these stories. So when I'm telling you a story, your brain's firing and it's like going, oh, my God, this lady, she knows so much. And, you know, your oxytocin and, You know, your serotonin and all of those things are firing. And that creates a memory. It creates a connection. So the next time you drop another breadcrumb, that person's brain files it away and says, okay, this person is doing stuff. They didn't just make it up in the bath last night. They really are getting results. And that comes down to is how many breadcrumbs do you drop? What type of breadcrumbs do you drop? And awards are one of the ultimate ways because it's third-party credibility. You have to write the entry, do the work, put it in front of a judge for them to look and go, do they fit the criteria? Have they met the guidelines? Yes, this person is a worthy winner.
Yeah, 100%. And I think social proof is becoming way, way more prevalent now with the advent of AI, you know, AI and really keeping that human connection when it comes to marketing and getting your business out there.
Well, absolutely. And that's where storytelling comes in and being able to move beyond, you know, those cliches that we're seeing pop up so much, particularly with AI. You in the fast moving space of the business world. You know, that you start to see those flags. But if you can put you into your entry and put you into your content, you know, while people may not realize that they recognize these red flags that come from cliches and, you know, AI scripted content, their hearts and their minds subconsciously know when you're being vulnerable, when you're being real and, dare I say it, authentic. Because to me, I think that's one of the biggest social proof little badges that we can have now is, you know, with this strategy that we may have that we've carefully laid out and here's all the things that we're going to do. If you can deliver that as a human being, as someone who is open to going, yeah, I have ups, I have downs, there's the middle ground, you know, sometimes things go well, sometimes they don't. Here's my award, here's my crappy day. Then people, it's easier for people to relate to you and to want to do business with you. And it comes back to, you know, like and trust.
Yeah.
You know, people to know us. How do we get them to know us? We share stuff. How do we get them to like us? We be real. You know, how do we get them to trust us? We show that we've got the results and the achievements and the runs on the board.
Yeah, 100%. So going on to a judge's perspective. So obviously the judges, they don't know you, they don't know your business, they don't know the effort that you've put in behind the scenes. All they see is what's on the page. So what's like a few common mistakes that you see when it comes to judging awards?
The first one, and this is where the judging or preparing to enter awards is leaving it to the last minute. Like you really can see when you're judging an entry where it's been rushed. You know, there's mistakes. They haven't had time to get someone to review it or, you know, heaven forbid you spell check or Grammarly or Outright or something like that. And then the next mistake is because you've left it to the last minute, judges want to see if you're making a claim, you know, I grew my business 50% in 2024. They want to see proof. How did you do it? What strategies did you engage? You know, what does that look like? So quite often people make these big overarching sweeping claims, but they never give context. So you've got to quantify and qualify. It's, you know, not just a recitation of here's all the amazing things I've done. The judges really want to understand the ins and outs. And that can sometimes be challenging when you've got word counts. There's awards out there that have got 250 words to answer a question about, please tell us about your performance over the last 2 years. It's like, what? 250 words? Oh my God, can I do it?
You're going to have to dot point it.
dot point it. But then you kind of lose that essence.
You do, yeah.
Paired. Quantifying your claims, checking your work for mistakes, you know, like as a judge, sometimes you look past, you know, someone might have meant to write, you know, your win, but they put you win and you go, well, you know, we're all busy business owners here. Mistakes happen. None of us are perfect.
Yeah.
And another thing is not reading not just the guidelines and the criteria to make sure that you're in the right award, you've got the right category, but you understand what the criteria is. You know, there are a lot of awards, not all of them, there's some who you just kind of like go, I think I need a mystic to help me work out what you want. But really good, solid awards will have very clear criteria. And even before you start writing your response, is you need to go through that criteria and ask yourself, do I meet this? How can I prove this? Where do I go get the information to do this? And then you can start answering the question. And if you don't do those things, then you kind of end up with this half-hearted, half-fisted entry that really does, you know, I mean, you could be the best in the world at what you do, but if you don't do those things, you're really letting yourself down. And coming back to reading the question, like if we go back to primary school comprehension, I hope they still teach that in primary school, your teacher would give you a sentence and you had to go through and you maybe analyze what the verbs, the adverbs, the adjectives with. And I always say to people, you know, cut and paste the question out and go through and highlight the key words. What are the judges looking for? And whenever I write an award or I'm judging an award, I read the submission, I go back to the question, and then I ask myself, so what? So what? So what if you did that? Did you prove that to me?
Yeah.
So that's a really good process to go through when you're looking at your entry, to go back through it and go, okay, the keywords achievements, 2025. So, okay, and I don't need to tell them what I did 10 years ago and provide data to back this up. Have I answered the question? Yes, I've told them this. And yes, it's in the last 12 months and here's my proof.
Yeah. And I think with that as well, is because this happens in when you're doing marketing as well, is you tend to get stuck in a bit of, oh, this is what we do, you know, look here, look, whoa. And then you forget, you know, these people don't know who you are. All they can see is you've said, you've made these big claims, but they don't know who you are. They weren't there for the process. They haven't seen what you've actually done. And that happens a lot in marketing as well, especially when you're posting things or like case studies. Oh, this is what we got. Okay, well, how did you actually get there? So people can see that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like I did an entry for someone and one of the judges' feedback was, you know, we this is a really competitive industry. We'd love to see some benchmarking.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, that wasn't in the question, but I can submit a support document. So now I have as part of my checklist is that if I'm claiming that this growth is above industry average, is I'm going to go and get some stats to back that up so I can show that. And you're right, the judges don't know who you are. So that's where the storytelling comes in, is so that you can give them some foundation of going, oh, okay, I can see why this is a really good solution to a problem.
Yeah.
You know, we get stuck in features and benefits. And
yeah,
you know, like I've seen people going, we're number one in Australia. We're the most professional this. And it's like, says you.
Yeah.
So well, where's the proof, baby? Show me the proof.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, facts and figures are important, but the facts and figures alone don't stick. And it is the storytelling that does. And it will every single time in marketing. That's how you become front of mind, like you said, because people, when you're listening to stories, you have those emotions and those that oxytocin, the serotonin that releases, and that brand will then become front of mind. So every time they see an ad, you know, an award that you've won, they see a post that you've posted, they'll know, oh yeah, they do that, you're front of mind. So when it comes to the point where they need your product or your service, they're always going to go for you first because you're ingrained in their brain.
We like to think that people buy logically. So, and the same with judging, you know, when people are going, okay, this is going to be judged. The judges are going to judge this logically, and they should, because it's about being objective. But we cannot ever forget that whoever your audience is, whether it's your prospective client or customer or a judge, is they're still human beings.
Yeah.
And they're still moved by what happens in here. And also the part of the brain which is our emotion, like that limbic center, which is the bit that fires up when you connect with somebody's story. So finding that balance between logic and heart is, you know, like you said, you can have all the data and all the stats in the world, but where's the balance of how that makes someone feel?
Yeah.
Because we have to remember that, you know, that feeling is not something that we should be brushing aside because someone says that, you know, the algorithms don't say this and the algorithms don't do that. Bugger the algorithms.
Yeah.
Remember, we're all human and, you know, we want to connect with each other.
Yeah, 100%. And a strong application for, you know, your awards creates a narrative. So the challenge your business faced, the solution you created, and the impact or results that came from it. And it is just about creating that story. And storytelling, it makes your business human. It shows the judges the people, the effort, and the innovation behind all the numbers. So you're not just acting all fancy like, ooh, look at this.
I love that. Absolutely. You know, it's easy, particularly if you've come from a corporate background or an academic background. There's a style of writing you can see that creeps into people's content. Or if you've not come from a writing background, you know, like you've, I don't know, like I've worked with a lot of women who have, you know, like stayed home with their kids. They've come back into the workforce. You know, their previous careers may have had nothing to do with writing or marketing. And then all of a sudden they're entrepreneurs and small business owners and they're being told to be vulnerable, be real, put storytelling in. And, you know, like, how do you do that?
Yeah.
And I say to people, just let's pretend you're having a conversation. Yeah. You know, Chloe and I are having a conversation. And if you were going to ask me about my business and my successes, you know, I might say something like, you know what, I probably wouldn't write that, but last year was really tough. And this is why it was really tough. You know, I had to do this and then I had to do this. But, you know, once I got that all in order, then I started to see results. And those results were this, this, and this. And, you know, instead of like going, you know, last year, our business grew by 50% with a 72% ROI on our marketing spend. It's like boring. And look, it tells a story. It gives the facts, but it doesn't connect, as you were saying, doesn't get into your head and your heart where the judges are nodding along going, oh, my God, like this person, look at what they've done. This is amazing. So they've gone from here and they've done this and this is how they did it. And I really relate to this story, you know. So we're tapping into that, you know, that unconscious bias that judges have. You know, let's face it. While they should not be biased towards any entry because the guidelines and criteria, they're still human beings, and we still need to use every tool and resource at our fingertips that we can blend all of that, so that the judges are nodding along to your story and thinking, this is someone who deserves an award.
Yeah, and it shows the struggles that you've gone through and how you've overcome that as well, rather than just, you know, stating the facts. It shows that you're a real human, and it does, like you said, it creates that relatability between the judge and the entrant. Even though I know there shouldn't be those biases, there is always going to be that.
It's always
that,
but we're always, you know, you can go, I'm not judgmental. It's like, yes, you are. You know, I'm not biased. Yes, you are. You're a human being. You know, you can work to overcome. I mean, like, I like to think that I'm not judgmental, but I am. But I catch myself.
Yeah.
And I go, oh, I have no right to be judging this. I need to be looking at this, and that will inform my decision. And I say to people who may not have the skill of wordsmithing, that to pick up their phone, press record, look at the question, and then just start talking. Don't edit yourself. Don't go, oh, I sound stupid on recordings, or don't, just record. And when you've finished recording, you can use the wonderful tool of AI, ChatGPT, whatever, Gemini, whatever you're using, and put that transcript in and then get AI to pull out those key points, that pull out those key storytelling elements that gives you a foundation to start writing your entry from. We can all tell a story, like, hands up, no one who's ever gossiped in their life.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, we're all really good at telling stories. We tell it to our kids, to our partners, to our friends, you know, to the person you just met in the Bunnings, you know, queue. We tell stories and we tell them verbally. So if writing is not your prowess, use this thing, your mouth, and get out what's in your head. You know, here's the thing, Chloe, is that, you know, quite often I get people who say to me, oh, I haven't really done anything. And I start asking a few questions. And then I get to the end of, you know, 45 minutes. And it's like, what do you mean you've not done anything? You just shared all of the, oh, but that's nothing. No, it's not nothing. That it's unconscious competence. I wrote about this other day on LinkedIn. It's so easy for us to downplay our achievements that we do think it's nothing. It's like me saying to you, know, hey, Chloe, who's Chloe? She's related to Bluey. Chloe, your hair looks amazing. And you go, oh, you know, I brushed it this morning. I didn't, but you did. And you'll brush that off instead of going, oh, thank you. You know, like I work really hard to keep my hair looking amazing. You know, like I make sure I condition it. You know, I do this and I do that. You know, instead of when someone goes, what have you achieved? You know, you go talk to somebody or talk to your recorder and or go through your diary. Contact some clients, contact some friends, go look at your social media and then map out all of those things, you know, from, you know, sometimes I love when people go, what's your goal this week? My goal this week is to, you know, like get through the week without, you know, wanting to curl up in bed and cry. So for me, getting up this morning, having a shower and sitting in front of the computer felt like a really big achievement. Now, I wouldn't put that in an award, but this morning I've written 2 award submissions. You know, it's myself on the back, you know, like I did all the work. And then this morning I went, okay, my head's a bit clearer. I can sit here and I can pump that out. So go back and reflect on what you've done and record that and then pop it in and write a story from that.
Yeah. So what are your 3 musters for every submission?
Get started before the award opens. So, you know, that there's a whole lot of things within that first thing. It's like, you know, create a strategy. Don't just go, oh, shit, the award's open. I bet, like, oh, my God, it's closing in 2 days. I better get to do something. So map out a timeline for the year and pick some really strategic awards that fit with your business, your achievements, your accomplishments, you know, things that you think that your audience will find impressive. And then go to their website, see if you can find the questions and start working on them. Might have a checklist of things that they want to see in your support document and start building what I call your award black box now, before it opens. If it's open, that's fine. You can still start now. So that's the first thing, be prepared. The next thing is to, you know, take the time. Don't leave it to the last minute, which kind of fits with the first one, that if you've done all your planning and preparing, prioritize writing your submission. Don't leave it to the last minute. Yes, I know you've got 700 million other things. Outsource it. I know someone amazing. you know, prioritize it. Put some time in your diary. And part of this preparing in advance means, let's just say, you know, the Australian Women's Small Business Champion Awards open soon. There's 10 questions. If you'd started preparing when I started talking about it in June, you could have gone, downloaded the questions and answered one question a week. You know, it's anywhere between 250 to 500 words per question. So you could have spent an hour or two each week over the last 10 weeks preparing for that entry. So when it opens, you can go, okay, how do I update this? And the third thing is the awards win is not the end of your win. Is quite often we go, oh, yay, I've got the trophy. Let's put it on the shelf. Nothing more shall be said about this ever. Occasionally I'll dust it or go, oh, I won an award. Have a plan through the award. So don't just do that one post that says, I'm honored, I'm blessed, I'm grateful. Please don't do that. Weave some storytelling into it. Give people something to really cling to when you're sharing that win, so it just doesn't sound like bragging or modest bragging. And map out, what am I going to do over the next 4 to 6 weeks, so that when everybody else has done their yay, I won and forgotten about it, is that you can remain top of mind. Like, what blog am I going to write about it? Can I write about what I learn about my business by entering awards? Or can I do a story about one of my clients, which is really integral to growing my business the way that I had? Could you, maybe you didn't win, maybe you're a finalist or you got second place or third place, go and record your acceptance speech and put that up. You know, it's still an acceptance speech. You're still saying thank you to those who supported you. So have some ideas on how you can continue the win long past the actual night of getting dressed up and, you know, that excitement.
Yeah.
Because that's what, I mean, like, great example, it's a sporting one, but Stephen Bradbury, who won the gold medal, you know, was it 20 odd years ago in the Olympics? He's made a speaking career out of that moment of being the last man standing. I think that's the name of his keynote, is that he has built a career reminding people that he won an Olympic medal, and he's created this amazing, inspirational and incredible impact that's continued to keep giving.
Yeah.
And I guess too, also, I mean, I know this is about mistakes, but when you're willing to share and be open to continue the story of your win, it encourages and inspires other people. And I think that's
100%.
Win in itself is that if you can connect with someone who's sitting there, you know, with imposter syndrome and self-doubt and that voice in their head going, you know, well, who do you think you are? Like, you, who are you to enter? And they see you and they go, I can relate to this person. You know, they're not all dressed up. They had their makeup done and their hair done. You know, they look like maybe they just got out of bed. But I can relate to that. If they can do it, I reckon I can give it a go.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people need to understand that writing about your achievements isn't bragging. It's smart business storytelling. And yeah, and it's, you know, it's when you, like you said, when you're just doing that one post, it just is like, oh, okay, awesome, congratulations, like on to the next. But when you're weaving it in, add it as a case study on your website, do some LinkedIn posts, do some media releases for your entry and, you know, your finalist status, and share it internally with your marketing team or with your team, because, you know, it boosts that team morale and it makes them proud to be a part of your team. Attracts new clients. It's
does a whole lot of things, Chloe. It's an incredibly, it's a wonderful moment to make the finals and win. And in that moment, it's like, boom, there's, you know, all the stars and the moon have aligned. But it's, you know, I always say to people, business is about serendipities. You know, it's those things that aren't in the brochure or in your features and benefits, and the people that you can draw to you by, you know, being open and honest enough to talk about the after. And I say to people, even if you don't win, share that.
Yeah.
Because people have this mindset that, you know, like, I'm working with someone at the moment, we've entered a few awards, she's made the finals, she's not won anything yet, and she's gone, I'm done with awards. And it's like, you've only entered three. Like, let's keep going, because each time we get feedback, we improve the entry, you will win. You will always win if you keep entering.
Yeah.
You know, yes, you're going to have to take that, you know, that you're sitting there in the crowd and they call out the winners and you're going, yay, awesome, they won. It should have been me. Take that as a learning, as, you know, not just professional but personal development, that, you know, it's ain't all sunshine and rainbows, people. You know, it's ups and downs and ins and outs, and it's winning and losing, and you're going to lose more than you're going to win, but it's making the most of those wins, which, you know, like, I'm an awards writer. I don't even win everything for myself all the time. And who knows, most awards don't give feedback, so you can never really know what about your award. But I don't sit there and go, well, that's it, I'm never entering another award again. I'm like, all right, what can I do better this time? Yeah, I'm going to enter the next. And I did it with 2 years ago, I won the Australian Small Business Champion Awards for Copywriter of the Year.
Yeah,
I'd been entering that award for 9 years. I'd always make the finals. I never won, and they call the winner out. I go, God damn it, I didn't win this time. And this one particular time, I'm sitting there, and your negative netty in my head's like going, oh no, I'm not going to win. Someone else is going to win. And my friend went, the camera's coming this way. And I've gone, oh, and they called my name. And I swear that everything that I taught every other human being about awards and what to do in that moment left my head. And I jumped up like a crazy, like you would have thought that I'd won, lotto and $1 million. But in that moment, it was like, I'm so glad I did not quit. I did not quit.
Yeah. And I think for the viewers listening, when you don't win an award, it's not based on, you're not good at your job, or you're not, you're not good at what you do or your business. It's up to the judges at the end of the day. So if your application isn't telling a story and it's not connecting, it's probably likely not to win.
Yeah. And but then we also have to weigh up that we've got judges who've got unconscious bias.
Yeah.
We've got unclear criteria and guidelines. So there's a whole lot of things that, yes, maybe your storytelling and your entry let you down, but, factor in that it could be a whole lot of other things. I lost out on an award once for a category I entered because even the lady admitted it to me. Her, I'm going to use sob story, I don't use that disrespectfully, but her story of the trauma and the pain and suffering that she'd been through was far deeper and traumatic than mine. And it wasn't about that for the award. But she used that in their entry, and I can imagine the judges reading it going, oh, my God, this is awful. Their unconscious mind is going, we've got to give this woman an award. Like, how do you beat that? You can't. That's why you go back and you don't keep entering the same awards over and over again, especially if you win. So now that I've won the Small Business Champion Award, I won't enter that again. I'll let someone else win. Thank you, Annette. I'll open that space up because I've won it. I don't need to keep proving it. I went and looked for a different award that I could enter that I could still showcase my skills. And I tell the same to my clients who go, for the 6 year entering the same award and winning it, it's like, do you think maybe we could try something a little bit different? Instead of a bob, how about we do a pixie cut this
year? Yeah. Do you have any real client examples, without sharing their name, obviously, that could help inspire some of the listeners? I know I've kind of just put you on the spot there.
I've got a really good, it's a few years old, but I think it's a really good example, particularly for those who may work in industries that aren't real sexy, like accounting or bookkeeping or legal or safety or things like that. So maybe 4 or 5 years ago, I had a client come to me. She is an accountant. I was the third person that she'd spoken to. And she'd said, you're the third person I've spoken to. Everyone else reckoned accounting's just too unsexy for PR and awards. And I went, sounds like a challenge to me. Let's go. Now, she, typical accountant, brilliant with numbers, solving puzzles, putting it all in order. An introvert, shy, would rather be behind the scenes, had never written a blog in her life, never entered an award in her life. So we started small. I started writing for her. We started with one small award, and we worked through that. And over the course of 12 months, she went from, I'm never being on video, I'm never speaking at an event, I'm never getting up and doing an acceptance speech, to 12 months later, speaking at fairly major industry conferences and events, being in the media, radio, podcasts, getting up on stage, accepting her awards. And wow. So it was really just about meeting her where she was at. Let's not go big or hard. You know, some clients come to me and they're like, got one at the moment in the food wellness industry. And she's like, let's go hard or go home. So we're doing like 20 awards this year. Like, let's just keep doing this. And it's like, stop sending me awards. I think it's 20. But for this particular client, it was about getting her comfortable with telling her story. It was about helping her see step by step the achievements and things that she'd accomplished to get. So like by the end of 12 months, she was visibly showing up on Google searches organically because of all of the, you know, like now you got to go and post it on your LinkedIn. Oh, do I have to? Yes, you have to go and do it and say this. You know, her business grew 30%. She hired more people onto her team because she was standing out. She was visible. So to me, that I always go back to that one because I mostly work with people who are shy and introverted and doubt their abilities, even though they're amazing and awesome at what they do. That it's just one step. Take one step. Do one award and then see how you go. Don't stop at that if you don't win. Let's do the next one. Let's keep tweaking and improving.
Yeah.
So is that a good one?
Yeah, I think that's awesome. Yeah.
I've got more. I'm just like, if you want a different example, I'm sure that I can come up. Like I've written something like 2,500 awards over the last decade.
Wow.
So there's a lot of people that I've worked with in a lot of industries and niches. And, you know, I guess some stand out more than others, and particularly those ones of people who've come, you know, crawling to me going, oh, I don't want to, but I know I should, and helping them. You know what I think, Chloe? I think my job is not just writing awards. It's breathing that belief into people and showing them how someone else sees their business through different eyes. And I think one of the best compliments I get is, I got it the other day, wow, you make me sound amazing. Are you sure that's me? Like, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's you.
Yeah, that's awesome. Oh. Now, what do you think about, because I know some people see, you know, their business size as a barrier, and they think because they're a small business, they can't win against these large companies, you know, because these companies have more history or they're going to tell the story better.
Oh, you know what? There are so many awards out there for so many different industry niches and business sizes, from idea to established and scaling up and everything in between. So, you know, like the Stevie Women in Business Awards or any of the Stevie Awards has got, let's say you're going for Company of the Year in advertising, marketing and PR. They've divided it into three segments, small up to 10 employees, medium 11 up to however many, large, you know, 1,000 up to whatever. So you're only competing with like sized businesses. So this is where your homework comes in, is that, you know, you go and have a look at these awards and read their guidelines, and they'll explain what each category is for. Go and have a look at past winners. You know, it's always like, I had someone say to me the other day, oh, I don't think my business is good enough for the Stevie Awards. And I go have a look at the winners. Like, there's people there who are solo entrepreneurs who are competing against, you know, maybe people with 10 in their business, and they're winning. You don't have to be a big business to enter awards. If you're canny and you do your homework and you look for the right ones, then there's something there for everyone, literally everyone in every niche, in every industry, in every category. You know, so I always think that when people say that, it's like it's an unspoken fear that if I can say, you know, oh, but there's nothing out there for me. It's like people, like I'm a Trekkie, people go, oh, I hate Star Trek. And you go, have you ever watched it? No. Then how do you know you hate it? Like, just watch one episode and then tell me that you don't like it. So don't make assumptions. And I think that's where that comes from, is people assume, because all of this social proof coming at them and they're seeing these people, you know, like, oh, you know, rainbows and sunshine and unicorns and sparkles, it's all amazing. And we believe that hype because no one's showing the downside. So, you know, don't assume. Go do your homework, dig a little deeper. Again, I know someone really amazing who can point you in the right direction.
Yeah. I think that's one that, like you said, is that little bit of fear factor of going up against these larger companies that have maybe been established for a bit longer. But just because they've been established for longer doesn't mean that, you know, they're better than you or you're better than them or any which way.
No, it just means that they're entering.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't, you know,
if you don't try, you'll never know.
You got to be in it to win it. I used to say to my kids when they're little, going, oh, mummy, I can't do this. And I go, if you think you can, you can. If you think you can't, you can't. It's your choice. Yeah. So if you decide you can, give it a go. If you decide you can't, don't do it. You live with the consequences of that.
Yeah, 100%. Awesome. So we have some actionable takeaways for all the listeners to put into practice. So when you're writing your award applications, I want you to keep front of mind, answer the questions clearly, don't wander off topic, back your answers with hard evidence, so include those metrics, results, and outcomes, tell a story, so make it human, memorable, and easy to follow and read. Think strategically, because awards aren't separate from marketing, they're a part of your marketing strategy. And get support if you need it. A fresh perspective can make your application stand out. So if you do need your award applications looked through, written, or need somebody to give that, you know, bit of help, bit of guidance, please see Annette. She is an absolute goddess when it comes to writing.
Thank you, Chloe. That's lovely. Thank you. And I just have a go. Just have a go. You've got nothing to lose, you know, because even if you don't win, no one's going to sit there and go, oh, they didn't win. They're going to be cheering you on because you had a crack, that you didn't sit there. And, you know, the biggest thing in life is regret. And, I don't regret anything, and I hope my clients don't regret anything, even if they haven't won, as they always come out with something in the end. You know, like it's you know, out of good comes bad, out of bad comes good. You know, there's always something to learn, and you can always use that the next time to be better.
Yeah, I love that. Amazing. Awesome. So on next week for episode 29, we're going to be shifting from award applications to another powerful, credible builder that most businesses overlook, which is your case studies. They're more than just testimonials, they're proof, persuasion, and one of the strongest sales tools that you can have. So we'll be breaking down the structure of them, where to use them, and how they can help you close deals faster. Awesome. So we'll see you on the next one. Bye, guys. Thank you.
Bye. Thanks, Chloe.